Many of us throw ourselves into service without asking many questions. Well, have you ever asked yourself, why do we serve? What drives someone to serve? Why do people go out of their way to help someone? And the golden question, what's in it for us? And this question sets the tone for today's episode of The Science of Service and Its Benefits.
In all reality, we know right now that we are free. That's the way of the Lord. Love all, serve all, listen to the call of the Lord. Love all, serve all, be willing to see the one in your fellow man. Every morn when we open our eyes, life is filled with abundant surprise, just waiting for us to recognize that's the way of the Lord. Love on, serve on, listen to the call of the Lord. Love on, serve on, be willing to see the one in your fellow man. You and I are here to bring the light of God into everything. Let Him be the song we sing. That's the way of the Lord. Love on, serve on, listen to the call of the Lord. Love on, serve on, be willing to see the one. Willing to see the one. Be willing to see the one.
So, the science behind service. Well, is there really science behind service? Actually, science and spirituality are so deeply rooted within each other that both areas correspond to each other in some way or the other. So let's talk about serving now. Why do we serve? And when we serve, whom do we serve? What do we feel when we serve? And how do we serve? So why, when, what and how? So these are some of the questions that we should ask ourselves first. So let's take a look at the first question now. Now when we ask, why do we serve or offer to serve someone? Our first response may be that, well, because we are in some sort of a position to do so. Like we may be better off than the other person, or we could do certain things that the other person cannot do. So this is the first level of serving, where we offer to serve just because we can. Now, since everyone is on the spiritual path, our next level of serving is when we decide that when we serve the divine. Swami has always said, Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. And if you take this very literally, as we serve others, we should imagine and believe that we are also serving Swami. And this is indeed a great way to remove the danger of the ego taking over ourselves as we offer service to others. So when we think that Swami is the one whom we are serving, then automatically we always want to give Him the best, right? When we know that we have given our best, we are then filled with a feeling of immense peace and satisfaction. So this bliss is the ananda derived from serving others. So here is a question now for you. Why do we actually serve? What makes it so easy for us to readily agree to serve, putting aside our notion to serve Swami? So I leave you to reflect on this with the next two songs.
I am a weird. I rise and fall.
Cause how you live is a
dear listeners. Now, before the last two songs, we were talking about why we serve and how most of us offer our services with a single thought that we are actually serving Swami. Now, what should be the driving factor behind service? You know, there is a beautiful Upanishad story that exemplifies this point. It goes like this. So in the forest lived a yogi. Every morning he used to go to the river to have his bath. And this river being near a village, they would have many residents of the village coming to the river to have a bath. Now one day, a villager, he saw a very strange sight. A scorpion had slipped from the river bank into the river and was struggling in the river. And there was this holy man who was taking bath in the river. He happened to see the struggling scorpion. So he picked it up with his fingers to rescue it. And as he did that, the scorpion stung him. Now, unmindful of that, the man gently deposited the scorpion on the riverbank and he resumed his bath. Now, unfortunately for the scorpion, it slipped once again and it fell into the river and began struggling for life. So once more the holy man picked up the scorpion and returned it to the riverbank, and even as he was doing that, the scorpion stung him once again. So interestingly, this happened the third time, the fourth time, and the villager who was watching all this, he was simply stunned. And unable to contain himself, he went to the sage and said, "O holy one, why are you repeatedly saving this ungrateful scorpion that goes on stinging you?" Now the holy man smiled and replied, "There is nothing strange about that, because the scorpion is doing what is natural for it, and I am doing what is natural to me, that's all." So dear listeners, the sage helped the scorpion because he simply felt the pain of the animal as it was struggling in the water. And when the sage said that he was doing what was natural to him, he simply meant he was embracing his true self, the compassionate, loving self that he really is. And so are each and every one of us. Our true nature is love and compassion, and that should be the driving factor each time we decide to serve.
Take me home to the Lord.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Swami always tells us that our true nature is love. If you do a quick search on Radio Sai website, you are bound to find his words of wisdom reminding us of who we really are. And for us to understand that this is what we are, that is love, Swami places so much importance on the act of service. So it first starts as if we are doing service to others. But in fact, it is only to remember who we really are. In fact, service should be a tool. In fact, it is a tool to constantly remind ourselves of our true nature, and that should be its true benefit. You know, during the Gram Seva of 2001, when Professor G. Venkatraman, the director of Radio Sai, when he visited one of the villages, and there he met Mr. B. N. Narasimurthy Garu, who is the warden of the Brindavan campus, and they indulged in a chat about Gram Seva. And during that, Mr. B. N. Narasimurthy sir said something very significant, and I'm going to read out that excerpt from that conversation now. Mr. Narasimurthy sir said, "What Gram Seva has done for our boys is more important than what it has done for the villagers. Of course, when we give them food, packets and clothes, we are handing over Swami's grace and love and food for them. It is not material, it is a spiritual assurance from Swami that I am there, don't worry. The boys are the messengers for carrying these nuggets of Swami's love and compassion for the villagers and handling them over. Most of the boys who have come here, actually many of them, would not have seen Indian villagers. They are introduced to the rural scene for the first time. I remember when we went for Gram Seva in 2000, there were many boys who told us, 'Sir, we never knew that our country was like this.' In fact, there was one boy who said, 'My dream was to go outside the country and live and serve a foreign country. Now I have changed my mind.' After having seen this, we are required here in our country more than any other country." So thus, Gram Seva is making that kind of impact on the students and also keeping up the bond, the rapport, compassion and the devotion to Swami very strong.
I have always been, and I will always be with you. I am with you now, as I have always been.
Listeners, so the topic for today's discussion is the science behind service and its benefits. So is there really science behind service? Well, actually there is, and there is a pretty good explanation for it too. In an article taken from the Spirituality and Health magazine titled Neurons for Compassion, the answer seems to be quite clear. So this was a research study that was done in 1995. It was later named as Mirror Neuron System. The scientists of the University of Parma in Italy discovered that animals such as monkeys were able to produce the same exact neuron firings as that of the people that they had been observing. That is to say, for example, a monkey was watching a technician eat ice cream, and the brain firing patterns in the monkey was similar or was same as of the person who was eating the ice cream. So it was as if the monkey was eating the ice cream himself. So a question was raised to ask, what purpose could such an imitative neuron system have? Does it only imitate movement, which is what helps us to like walk, talk and behave as humans do, or is it to do with something more than that? Well, this study shows that there is something much more. Now take for example, a common situation where we are watching someone else being poked with a needle, and many times we would have observed that when that happens, we would ourselves wince in pain as if we are the ones who are being poked with a needle. You see, we are actually feeling the process of needle insertion. So here is the neuronal architecture, the science that shows where the foundation of compassion is built. It is built right into your nervous system. It is inbuilt into every human being. What we see outside of ourselves strikes a chord deep within us. Now, if we are all made in that same image of the same divine energy that runs in the person sitting next to you runs in you. Therefore, we are all connected. To feel another person's pain, to extend compassion and love, is nothing else but our true nature. So when we serve, the question to ask is, can we see the plight of other less fortunate as part of our own personal dilemma? Like how it happened in the case of the sage who tried to pick up the scorpion, and the scorpion kept on stinging the sage, and still the sage went ahead to helping the scorpion because the sage believed that it is his nature to help. And this is where science meets spirituality, where the spiritual science reminds us of our true nature, that is the Atmic Self.
Wake up now, my children, wherever you are. Wake up now, my children, and see who you are. It's time to wake up now, you've slept for so long. It's time to wake up now and sing me a song. It's time to wake up now and sing me your song. Sairam, Sairam. It's time to wake up now and sing me your song. A new day is dawning, a new day is here. Give up all your worries, give up all your fears. That's why I've awakened you, the reason I came. Surrender your troubles and sing out my name. Surrender your troubles and sing.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So service is a platform to discover that which we never knew, to understand our true innate nature. Sri Rangarajan, the controller of examinations of Swami's university, had once given a talk in the presence of Swami in September 2003, and in his talk he speaks about what service is and how should we serve. So he says, what is service? Is it mere work? Because we always work, and if not for others, then for ourselves. But then, what is it that transforms this work into service? Let's recall what Bhagwan has mentioned about service. Work can be transformed into service only when it follows certain conditions, only when it is carried out in a particular way. And Swami lays so much stress on service that he says, hands that serve are holier than lips that pray. So the first aspect of service that Swami mentions, and it is probably the most important one too, that it should be done with the feeling of oneness. Swami says that the proper study of mankind is man. So once when an elderly devotee asked Swami to elucidate on this point, Swami asked him back, suppose you are walking in a forest and a thorn pricks your leg, what would you do? The devotee said that he would remove the thorn from his leg. And then Bhagwan asked again, how would you do it? The devotee was rather confused and said, Swami, obviously with my hand. Then Swami said, why would you do it? The hand removes the thorn instantly from the leg, because the moment the thorn pricks the leg, the hand also feels the pain. The legs and the hand are all part of one body, and every part of the body feels the pain. So too, the entire world is the body of God. And when any part of this world feels pain or suffers, every other part should feel it in the heart and should respond to it, just as the hand responds to the thorn in the leg. And this is the way service should be done. And I wonder whether we can even move close to it. So other aspects include those which we already know, acting from a place of purity, selfless love, offering every act to the divine, doing silent service, and placing importance on quality and not quantity. Hallelujah.
I'm
Welcome back, dear listeners. So till now we spoke about service, what ideally is service, what should be the driving factor behind service. Now let's talk on what are the benefits of serving. Well, we know that there are so many benefits, like, for example, we are certainly happier after the service is done, and we are left with an immense feeling of satisfaction of having helped someone else. So many people are filled with bliss or peace, inner joy, harmony, etc., etc. And in certain service, people are also exposed to a part of the world they never knew existed. Like, for example, remember the boys who went on Gram Seva and who said that they never knew that such poverty existed in India. Now, coming back again to the talk by Sri Rangarajan, he talks about benefits of serving in his talk as well. And now let's listen to an excerpt from his talk where he talks about why should one do service.
Next, let me move on to why one should do service. Now this is an age wherein people question everything. Why should I do this? Why should I do that? Gone are those days when the youngsters very obediently listened to their elders and promptly did what they said. So why should one serve? Bhagwan clearly says, one very important component of service is never be under the impression that you are serving others. You are in fact serving yourself, and it is for our own good. It takes a lot of time to understand this, but Bhagwan again and again says, never think you are helping others. That is Himalayan ignorance, as they call it. And the first benefit is, while serving, ego is killed. At least for those few moments when we serve others, possibly we forget about ourselves, because the rest of the time we are only concerned about me, myself. The second benefit that Bhagwan says is, service leads to transformation. I recall respected Indulal Shah sir, in one of his talks to the members of the Satya Sai Seva organization, made a very beautiful statement which goes like this, I quote. He said, the service that you do is not as important as what the service does to you. Possibly what he meant was, it's not what the service you do, but after having done that service, what has happened to me? Have I become a better person? Have I developed more forbearance? Have I reduced my anger? Have I become more humble? And if nothing like this has happened, what is the use of that service? So we should really pray to Bhagwan that let us realize that service is to bring about a change in me. And let us never be under the impression that it is helping others. For we all know the story of great Shivaji, who once felt that it was he who was protecting his entire kingdom, and how his guru teaches him a lesson by taking him to a rock. And he asks one of the soldiers to break the rock, and inside there was a small puddle of water with a frog in it. And then his guru asked him, who is taking care of that frog? And then it dawned upon the great king that it is God who takes care of everybody. The third benefit is, when we serve, we become sensitive. Sensitive to other people's concerns, other people's needs, other people's pain. And it softens our heart. As Mahatma Gandhi said, the most unfortunate thing about education today is it has made people's heart hard like rock. And even Bhagwan says, education has made people's heart hard like rock, but it should be soft like butter. So service makes the heart soft, and it makes us more sensitive. At this juncture, I would just like to share a small experience of mine, how Bhagwan taught me how to be sensitive to small things. One interview with Bhagwan, it was the first one, and therefore I was very dazed in the interview room. I just kept looking at Swami all the time. Swami spoke to several other devotees, materialized rings, gave them vibhuti. And at the end of the interview session, as we normally know, Bhagwan distributes vibhuti prasadam to all the devotees. And then I was sitting over there. Bhagwan got up from his chair, went to the side table, and lifted the bag of vibhuti and started distributing it to all the devotees. And I kept staring at him all the time. Oh, this is God. For the first time I'm so close to him. Now, normally what happens is we get lost in that and forget our most primary duties. And then I saw there was a young person from some country, a young man, who rushed to Swami and then immediately took the bag from Swami and said, Swami, please let me hold it. Believe me, Swami was so pleased with that act, he turned to me, smiled and said, see? I felt so ashamed. I said, Bhagwan, please forgive me just once more, Swami. Please give me one more opportunity. I will never forget this in my life. And I kept praying so hard. And luckily, maybe he wanted to give me this opportunity very soon. The next day also, he had called us for an interview. Right from the next morning, I was praying in my heart, Swami, just wait. Let the time come. I will not miss this chance. I will show you that I have learned the lesson. Evening came. Swami called us inside for the interview. Immediately I looked at the table. Yes, the vibhuti bag was there. I said, okay, I will do it. And then the entire interview session was over. Again, Swami materialized lockets, gave vibhuti prasadam. And towards the end, brothers, I was waiting like an athletic for a 100-meter dash. I said, the moment Swami gets up, I will rush towards him. And that's exactly what I did. And apparently, Bhagwan looked at me, what is this? What are you doing? But then when I took the bag, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the joy that I saw on Bhagwan's face was the joy of a mother when the child learns his lesson. He smiled so beautifully, looked at some other young men sitting in the corner of the interview room and said, see? So, I believe this is the way God teaches one to the other and the cycle goes on. Well, so service basically is for killing the ego, for transforming ourselves, and above all for sensitizing us, for softening our hearts. Brothers and sisters, Swami has been engaging in selfless service to the humanity for the last 78 years. Every second, every minute, his life is a saga of selfless service. He tells us to do, but he also shows us. As Bhagwan says, he is not an ordinary teacher. He is a physical director who does it himself. One, two. Swami literally lifts his hands and demonstrates that I do and I ask you to do. It's time that the need of the hour is we get inspired by him. The feeling in my heart is always this. Bhagwan, I would like to say, Swami, please stop, take rest. Now we will do. You command us. In fact, it is the role of the youth today to be inspired by Bhagwan. And if all of us in the world get together and say, Swami, we will do your command. In no time there can be absolute peace and harmony in the world. Is it so difficult? It's just that we all have to take that first step, including me. So I would like to conclude this small talk by this most humble and sincere prayer to Bhagwan on behalf of everybody over here. Because all of us are travelers in this journey towards God. There is no high, there is no low. All of us are co-travelers. So on behalf of all of us, let me pray to Bhagwan. Swami, please give us that strength to do service. Because once we engage in selfless service, bhakti, jnana, vairagya, including moksha, everything will be bestowed upon us. We don't need to separately pray for it. So let us all resolve that with Bhagwan's compassion and grace, we are able to serve our fellow brothers to his satisfaction. I thank Bhagwan once again very much for this unique privilege to speak in his divine presence. Sai Ram, thank you.
Instrument of your peace, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. there's darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Make me an instrument of your seek so much to be consoled as to console, and to be understood as to understand, and to be loved as to love. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Make me an instrument of your instrument of your peace. Make me an instrument of your peace. And it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Make me an instrument of your you.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So after that beautiful informative talk by Sri Rangarajan on the benefits of service, here is another beautiful sharing on, again, on the benefits of service and how it so drastically changed the life of one man. So here is an excerpt from a talk given by Mr. Gene Massey, a well-known filmmaker and devotee of Swami, at the Sai Center in Flushing, New York. So let's listen to this remarkable story and see for ourselves what little service can do to life of people.
Let me tell you a couple of things about, a couple of really good stories about doing service. This is off the subject a little bit. Dr. Upadhyaya, the famous ophthalmologist in London, he's God for me. He does nothing but service. Everywhere he goes is about is being part of Swami's mission. He goes all over the world. He's probably done 10,000-20,000 cataract operations in remote sections where he was actually concerned for his life. I mean, he worked with Mother Teresa 14 years before he even came to Swami. He lives in London. They called him in London one day and they said, Surendra, we got a problem. We got a guy that's going to commit suicide. He said, what? Yeah, the guy lost his wife and he's brokenhearted, he's depressed, he's lost his job, he's going to kill himself. Can you talk to him? He said, yeah, I'll be willing to talk to him. Send him right over. So the guy comes over, his name's Bob. Bob comes over and he says, I've pretty much decided I'm going to kill myself and I've thought about it. You're not going to be able to talk me out of it. Don't even try. I don't have anything to live for anymore. And Dr. Upadhyaya says, well, I understand that. You know, you've got a tough... It sounds pretty tough. But I wondered if you could do me a favor. He said, what? He said, I wondered if you'd put it off for 30 days. He said, why? He said, well, we got this situation in Bosnia. This is the time of Bosnia. He said, we got this situation in Bosnia where these people are starving to death. We've got a semi-tractor trailer truck full of food. And we don't have anybody that'll drive it through this area where they're dropping the bombs because it's too dangerous. And since you were going to kill yourself anyway. No. Not really. I'm just joking. Just joking. He didn't say that, okay? He said, no one is willing to drive this truck full of food to these starving people. And Bob said, I'm willing to do that. Sure. They showed Bob how to drive this semi, and he drove the truck through this very, very dangerous area and got the food to these people, and they carried him around. Thank you, you're brave. Thank you, you want to marry my daughter, you know. They were so happy. Bob did it again. He went back and got another truck and drove it in there. He didn't want to kill himself anymore, by the way, because he found himself through service. It can save your life if you do service. I got another story for you. This is about a man who was in Miami. His name was Victor. He was a corporate raider. He would go in and buy a company and loot it for everything of value in the company, including its pension plans. He would take people's pension money. Well, that's against the law, and he finally got caught at it, and he was convicted. And the judge said, Victor, I've decided that since you're 82, we're going to let you do community service. Oh, thank you, Your Honor. Thank you very much. No, wait a minute. 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of your life, and the first day you miss, you're going to federal penitentiary. So all of a sudden, Victor was in the food line, feeding starving homeless people. Oh, thank you, sir. God bless you. I hadn't had anything to eat in 3 days. Thank you so much. With tears in their eyes. It changed his heart. He started building homeless shelters. You get better food than this. Let's get him some food in here, you know. And it changed his heart to see that. There's nothing that can turn you into God faster than what Swami has told us to do. Go love all, serve all, help all, do something to help your fellow man, and you'll be God. And they'll treat you like God. They treated Bob like God. They'll treat you like God if you become God and do what God would do to help everybody. Now, I want to tell you how lucky we are. to be part of this. You're part of something truly, truly wonderful, magnificent. Several hundred years from now, they will look back on this time as the time of the birth of the Golden Age. Now, you're probably saying, if this is a Golden Age, why does my husband talk that way? Or my wife, or whatever, my boss. Well, here's why. Because when a baby is born, and you look at the baby right then, you go, I can't imagine that baby as being a college graduate. And that's what we have now. We have the birth. Swami has had the baby. We are all part of this creative nuclear reaction, this critical mass that has occurred that Swami brought, and this is what's going to happen in the world. You're going to see. Everybody's thinking about it now. The way that between social media and the internet and news media, and we've never been able to absorb so much material, and everybody has realized that a $500 dinner is not where it's at. And some people haven't realized that yet. I say everybody. Maybe some people haven't realized that yet. But everybody's realizing that more joy comes from a guy saying, thank you, God help you, sir, God bless you. I haven't had anything to eat for 3 days. You get a feeling of knowing you're helping somebody. And so that's what you're part of. And that's what the Avatar has gifted us with. The fact that he's left this body, he did his job. He's coming back as Prema Sai. And when he comes back as Prema Sai, let's have something to show him. You know what Swami really likes is if you do something for a long time, if you do service for a long period of time. You know, in Los Angeles, we have some people that go down on Thanksgiving and feed the homeless. And that's nice, but what really is needed is when it's not Thanksgiving, and what's really needed is when it's done and you do it for years, years and years and years, and don't ever give it. Don't do something and do it forever. That's what Swami likes. He doesn't like to just go, you know, have one thing, that was nice, but do it a lot. Now, this particular service is Jagadishan Center, and Jagadishan has a center in his home in Kuala Lumpur that has been doing this service for about 15 years. And what they do is they go to a mental hospital, the kind where you have patients like this that are absolutely incapacitated, just pitiful, many of whom are lying in their own excrement. And it's just, I filmed this, I couldn't believe that they were doing this service. It was the most incredible service I've ever seen. And as Jagga says, we are followers of the Avatar. Shouldn't we be doing some really magnificent service? You know, shouldn't we think of something that we can do that is worthy of the name, Satyasai? And just to give you an example of just how long they've been doing this, the former president of the Hollywood Center, that's his father, doing it now, and he himself did it as a boy. He was there doing this as a child. And what's really funny is they had never let them film so much as a snapshot before. We don't allow any pictures in here. You know, they tried to take a picture to show to some of the other devotees to get them to come. I came with my camera, big movie camera, and they said, you know, would you think you'd be, oh yeah, tell them to come on in. Very strange. Very strange that I got to film in there when the previous to this, it was just Swami, because otherwise they had never had so much as a picture in there before. So they feed them, and they wash their clothes. Needless to say, the devotees were telling me that the other people, the employees at the place, they just take the clothes and throw them in the washer. The devotees actually get the clothes by hand and clean out the things that really need to be cleaned out instead of just throwing it all in a washer, rinsing them out, and giving them back to them. This is what love is to me. Somebody that's willing to do this, willing to be messy, and you know, this looks like it's unpleasant, but this is worthy of the Sai name, in my opinion. This is what Jagga says. Let's do something that's worthy of Swami's name, worthy of the name, Satyasai Baba. Well, as we say in Hollywood, leave them wanting more rather than carry it on too far. And I think that pretty much tells my story. I want to thank you so much, Sairam.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So usually we wrap up the show with what Swami has to say about the topics that we discuss. I suppose it's his own way of listening to us explore and reflect on information and then helping us tie it all together like a validation of sorts, you know. So let me go back to one of Swami's quotes that in fact inspired me to do this show on service, or a science of service, or if you can say the spirit of service. So in one of the science fires that came on, it was on March 4th or 5th, and Swami had to say this. Swami said, "We often say that I am performing all actions in this world for the sake of God. Is it real? Are you really doing all the tasks to please God, or is it for your own self? Contemplate on this. Every devotee or sadhaka does many different activities for their own sake and not for the sake of God. Listening, singing the glory of the Lord, chanting His name, serving the divine feet, salutation, worship, servitude, friendship and self-surrender. All these nine forms of devotion are for your own good and not for God's benefit. Consider this example. You're eating an apple. Is it for the benefit of the apple that you're eating it? No, it's for your own health. Similarly, your actions, worship or meditation is only for your own happiness and satisfaction. The only thing God cares for is purity and steadfastness. Purity in thought, word and actions is all that matters to God." So dear listeners, let's keep that in mind. That is, when we serve, we are serving others for our own spiritual evolution, for our own improvement. If you did go out and if you did service, and then after we come back, if we are not feeling that sense of satisfaction, if you are not feeling that joy, introspect and ask yourselves, why? What did I do wrong? Why am I not feeling happy after the service? So with that, thank you, Swami, for wrapping up the show so beautifully. And with that, sisters and brothers, we hope that you have gained a deeper understanding behind the science of service today, or the spirit of service today. And as always, if you have any thoughts or experiences to share with us, please do write in at listener@radiosai.org. So this is Chandu Vijay signing off with a prayer that may all the beings in all the worlds be happy, happy, and happy, and have a blessed and beautiful day ahead.
We're singing with joy.
Sing with joy.
We're singing with truth.
Sing with truth.
We're singing with peace.
Sing with peace
and harmony. We're singing to the Lord in joy and harmony. We're singing a melody, a melody of love.
Hallelujah, sisters.
is no east or west, there's only here. There is no aching heart without a tear. Make me a perfect picture to hang in the hall of eternal light. Oh, the dream within a dream keeps burning bright. There is no water where there's only how. There is no reason why there's only now.
Yeah.